2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to ask a question this evening, as normally, often that's the way it happens. Am I looking for a harvest? I say I because I want us all to take it as a personal question. I could ask, are you looking for a harvest? But I want it to be as personal as I can, so let's say, am I looking for a harvest? Can we be contemporary tonight? You say that with me? Okay? Branch out from this staunch and stoic bunch, and let's ask ourselves, audibly asking ourselves that question this evening using the personal pronoun I. You ready? Am I looking for a harvest? Am I looking for a harvest? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, let me get my Bible up here a little closer. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Am I looking for a harvest? Say it with me again. Am I looking for a harvest? Am I looking for a harvest? How's your gardens doing? Wrapping things up. Cut my corn down. The beans are gone. The only thing left in those areas is the stubble and the weeds. Always anticipate the harvest. Gave away probably half or more of the corn. I think we got 6 or 7 quarts of green beans off of my beans because somebody else got the rest of them. Somebody was blessed with harvest. But it doesn't matter if I received the harvest or not. I was still looking for a harvest. That's why I put so much time into the garden, because I wanted to see a harvest. This passage of Scripture comes to us from the Apostle Paul, a tent maker. That is a little bit alarming to me, that Paul now is leaving the tent maker business and he's branching out into the farmer's business, and he's given us an illustration out of the farming labors and work, bringing us a parable that Jesus also gave. Paul is very clear here that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, that there will be a bountiful harvest. Sparingly or bountifully. That's the law of nature. We find it also that Paul is giving it to us very clearly here, that the comparison branches over into the spiritual. Now what I see and what you probably see is that that word giving kind of stands out. And so we think, well, what he's talking about is in our giving, in our tithes and offerings. It's possible that that is all that he's talking about, but I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to venture out. I believe that Paul is talking about more than just the financial giving. Because it takes more than just money to see the harvest increase for the kingdom of God. Some people think that that's all that it takes, that that's all that is necessary, that it's as simple as that, that as long as my billfold remains open and a few of those bills continue to come out and go into the plate when the offering plate is passed and to help somebody out, that that is sufficient. But I really don't think that's all that Paul is talking about. I could spend a little bit of time here talking about the widow and the orphan and the jail, the prisoner, and all of that that Scripture tells us about. Pure religion and undefiled. You know that verse? If you don't, look it up. You see, that's more than just passing the offering plate and slipping in some green stuff or some tinkling change. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We like the word grace, and we've heard about it today. We've sung about it today. We've rejoiced in the word grace today. And we like the verses that talk about the sufficiency of God's grace. Or we like that verse that says, all grace abound toward you. We like all those kinds of things. But what about us sowing the seed of God's grace for somebody else? Always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Well, that's a verse of Scripture that's speaking about sowing and reaping in the sense of doing something and abounding in that work for others. Someone may ask the question, well, what is sowing abundantly? What does it mean when he says that we should be sowing bountifully? What does it mean when we're talking about this bountiful side of things? If we look at our gardens, we probably all have a different size garden. Some people have said that my garden looked like it was pretty big, but if you go across the fence, my garden looks pretty small by comparison. Especially when you go on down into the pasture hay field there and you combine the entirety of the neighbor's garden to my little place, mine really takes on a new look of being small. But when you're weeding my garden, it's pretty big. When I was a kid, there was a place that we lived out in eastern Pennsylvania that we had to spade the entire garden. Dad didn't have access to a tiller, didn't have access to a plow. Nobody volunteered their time to come over and make sure that the preacher's garden was tilled, and we had to spade that entire garden. And one year, the circus was just down the road, and we went down with a wheelbarrow and a shovel, and we scooped up all the remains of what was left over from the elephants, and we brought that back up and put on the garden. We had to break all of that up and then spade it in. So if you want to talk about sowing bountifully and all the work that goes into sowing bountifully, and some reason Dad thought that with four kids in the family that he needed a large garden, we had to sow bountifully, which means or meant that we had to dig bountifully. We carried a lot of manure that summer, getting ready for the next sowing bountifully. What does it mean, this bountiful side? Well, Jesus gives us a story in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 21, where he is talking about giving. Now again, this particular story of giving is specifically speaking to the area of money, but it doesn't have to be limited to money. in that story, the one that stands out the most is this person that is called and known to us as the widow, because we have referred to that story many, many times as the story about the widow's mite. Do you remember that story? You've heard it over and over again, I'm sure. What is it that Jesus says about that particular story? He's talking about the poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said in verse number 3, "Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into or in unto the offerings of God, but she in her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Now let me break that down a little bit by giving the amplified rendering of what those words mean. Because we don't use the word penury. We don't have any clue what that is unless we specifically go and look it up. But what the Amplified translation would give us there is that that word indicates that she was giving out of her lack, even giving out of her want or her need, which means that she was giving more than what she should have been giving because she had needs that were present in her life, probably so much so that they were needs that couldn't be met anywhere else. Now that really brings a new picture to it, because then we look at the word that these other people were giving out of their abundance, that would indicate that they were giving out of their surplus. Not only because they had so much to give, but they were just simply taking the cream off of the top, and it wasn't even taking all of the cream. Out of their surplus they were giving. And she, out of her need, gave all that she had. So when we look at this and we think about this of sowing abundantly, one person's abundance may be more or less than somebody else's abundance. You and I cannot, what I'm trying to say is that what you and I cannot compare our sowing to somebody else and say, "Well, I'm involved more than they are. I do more than they do. I give more than they give." Oh, we don't say that though, do we? I hope not. But sometimes, I know, I shouldn't go here, but sometimes people are people, and people are people the world round, and there's times that the devil wants us to see that. You're giving more than they are. You're doing more than they do. It's not the point. The point is that God wants us to give or to sow abundantly. Sow abundantly. That means that there must be some kind of a standard. When I say a standard, I'm saying a mark, a benchmark. Something that we compare ourselves to rather than comparing ourselves among ourselves. Because Scripture tells us that when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. That is true. That is good preaching right there. We are not to compare ourselves among ourselves. So what is the benchmark with which we are to use as a comparison for ourselves to see if I'm doing, if I'm sowing, if I'm the person that I should be for the kingdom of God and in order to see a harvest in that kingdom? What is the benchmark for me? What is the benchmark? Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 14. Here's another story that Jesus gives us. Let's see here. I want to begin reading. Let's back up here. Boy, I'm going to have to read the whole thing. I was wanting to just to trim things down. You know the story. I'm not going to read the whole story, okay? You'll know it as soon as I start reading. And there were some, in verse number 4, that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. You're familiar with the story now? Isn't it amazing how somebody wants to give and somebody else wants to pick it apart? Jim Burris said, let me share with you the words of Jim Burris. He's gone, he's in heaven rejoicing, and he's way beyond all this stuff now. He said, I know that I'm lean in my soul when I become critical of other people. I've heard him say it a number of times. I probably will never forget it, and I hope I never forget it. When I know that I'm becoming lean in my soul when I become critical of other people. I believe that we can point fingers of judgment based on that particular thought right here in this passage and say, there's some people here that are lean in their soul because they're critical of this person that gave. Oh, you're not supposed to judge. Well, it's God's the one that's going to sift it all out. I understand that, but I'm pretty sure that there's a problem here. The reason why I'm confident of that is because Jesus points it out. He lets us know that there's a problem here. He said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. And verse number 8 gives us the benchmark. Do you have your Bible open? If you're not having your Bible open, pay attention to it. Here's the benchmark that Jesus is giving us when we look at how much or what the standard is. How much am I supposed to give? What is my requirement? She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. I can hear it now. I can't. No. We're not doing that. She hath done what she could. She broke that ointment bottle. She gave it all. It was costly. But out of the love in her heart, she was willing to sow bountifully. She gave so much. And Jesus said, she hath done what she could. You see, the benchmark is, what is our capacity? What is my capacity? What is your capacity? I didn't say, and I'm not asking, what are your talents or what about your capabilities in the way of what you are. Sometimes the vocabulary doesn't fit me well enough. What you're capable of doing, even though I'm looking at that word capable. What is our capacity? Most of the time, our capacity is beyond what we feel are our capabilities. Go ahead, say amen to that. Real loud, so everybody else can hear you and it's on recording. Say it real loud. Most of the time, our capabilities or our capacity is beyond our feeling of capability. That we can do more and be more than what we say we can be. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So not only is it our capacity, what is our capacity, but also what is our opportunity? Somebody said that our opportunity creates our responsibility. Our opportunity creates our responsibility. What is our responsibility? Just recently I heard somebody explain what the word responsible means, responsibility means. The responsibility is made up, they said, of two different words. One, ability. Two is our response. Response and ability. When somebody has need, when something takes place, and I have the ability to do something, what is my response to the need and my ability? I kind of like that. What is my capacity? What is my opportunity? If I'm going to have a harvest, if I'm going to see a harvest, if I'm going to be involved with the harvest, I'm going to have to be involved with the planting. Did any of you plant a garden or till the garden and hope for a harvest without doing anything else of planting the seed? I'm going to till it all up and I'm going to make my rows and I'm going to mark it all out. Here's the beans, here's the corn, here's the tomatoes, the cucumbers, the squash, and on down the list. And I mark it all out, I draw it up and it looks beautiful and the ground is beautiful. Everything looks great. And then we leave it and we go about our summer, and when it comes time to harvest the corn, the green beans, the cucumbers, the tomatoes, whatever it is that we wanted to have in that garden, when it comes time to put those away as a harvest, it's not there because we didn't plant. So we come back to the original question, am I expecting a harvest? What kind of a harvest am I looking for? Am I really going to have a harvest? If I'm going to have a harvest, I'm going to have to be planting. What am I doing to see a harvest? By the way, we need help at Nursing Home and Good News Club. Let's stand together. Are you looking for a harvest? Are you looking for a harvest? It's harvest time. Look under the fields. They're white, all ready to harvest. Are we looking for a harvest? What's my capacity? What's my opportunity? Let's take advantage of them. Do the work of the kingdom. And have a harvest for the kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance and attention. Thank God for His presence today. It's been a good day. Trust you have enjoyed the day and have been blessed by His presence as well. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Amy, would you dismiss us in prayer?